Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The Village of Lansing and Its Airport by Robert Malkus is a history of how the Lansing Airport was developed into what it is today. The story looks at the fascinating and often underappreciated ways that it served the people of the Village of Lansing and the entire Chicago Southland. While the book tells the history of events in the airport's development, it also provides a guided virtual tour through the pages of history and gives the reader an opportunity to participate as if they were actually reliving the experiences. The book is designed to revitalize the planned development of the airport in a format not typical of a historical memoir. Robert currently resides in Lansing, Illinois, where he first moved there. When he first moved there, he went to sleep every night under the first ever airport rotating beacon atop Henry Ford's hangar at the Chicago Hammond Airport. He came to believe he was being sent a message from Henry Ford himself about his contribution to the history of aviation in the United States. Robert, accepting the challenge, became the first chairman of a village commission assigned the task of managing the Lansing Airport's growth. He was later appointed airport manager and served in that position for 23 years until his retirement in 2008. And Robert Malkus, author of The Village of Lansing and Its Airport, Past, Present, and Future, a personal memoir, is our guest on This Week in America. Robert, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
This was predestined. I love that story of going to sleep every night with the specter of Henry Ford there. This was something, what aviation, did you ever want to do anything other than aviation?
I'm not really good at aviation until I started at the airport. I wasn't trained to do that. Really, I was a history teacher and spent 17 years teaching history. Then I got to Lansing and looked at this airport in back of me without any homes. I could see it actually the way airplanes were flying in and out.
Oh, yes.
And I felt that I should keep a record of what happened as the airport developed.
You know, it's a fascinating story, The Village of Lansing and Its Airport. Robert Malkus, M-A-L-K-A-S, is the author and our guest on the program today. Let's go back to the late 1970s. The Illinois Division of Aeronautics contacted officials in Lansing proposing an idea that basically would change its future economic growth potential. Talk about that, the importance of that time in history when Lansing was approached by state officials.
The state came up with, probably just developed a program, the national program for starts, and the state actually implemented. The Transportation Improvement Program is what it was called, and basically it provided airports, or let's say just local sponsors, what the needed tools they need to develop their airport. Would provide funding if you play by the rules, and that's the key with everything. If you play by the rules, Lansing ultimately did play by the rules and ended up with $35 million in grant money to develop the airport from what it was at that time, which was 100 acres, and it grew because of following the rules to what it is today, which is 650 acres. It couldn't have been done without the help of the Division of Aeronautics in Illinois and the FAA for what they did for us by providing the funding needed.
And this was really an important element in the whole aviation picture there, wasn't that? Talk about that, the need for the state to complete the long-term planning for this network of airports.
In actuality, matter of fact, that's constantly going on. They have something that's called a Transportation Improvement Program policy, where the airport sponsor keeps the FAA informed of what they're hoping to do in the future. And the future with Lansing was a 100-acre airport at that time, and one runway with a 2,400-foot length. Since then, the projects I don't have the exact number of projects, but there are about 20 projects that were initiated and completed with federal and state funding to buy up to 550 more acres that allowed us to extend the east-west runway as far as it could go, and then in actuality build a new runway, which occurred in 2003.
It's just an amazing story of how this began. It's all so well laid out and told in Robert's book, The Village of Lansing and Its Airport, Past, Present, Future, Personal Memoir. Robert Malkas, that's M-A-L-K-A-S, is the author and our guest on the program. This was going to be part of servicing smaller aircraft in the Chicagoland region, a very important part of transportation there. Let's go to like 1976. It's accepted. The journey begins at that point. What was the reaction of the residents in Lansing?
That's a very interesting story. The initial reaction was negative. The idea of having 747s landing in the backyard of Lansing was not acceptable. What was needed was good communications with the people in the area, not only Lansing, but neighboring town of Linwood, and across the border, the town of Munster. This sort of another thing that just happened today in Lansing, the village is reactivating its interest in extending the runway by 2,000 feet. And the article did get into the paper just yesterday, and at least three people responded saying, we don't want that type of thing in our town. That's the same type of problems that were brought up 20 years ago when we just began to develop it. A good management policy is to teach, which is what my basic career is teaching. We taught the people of Lansing that this is going to be a benefit to them and to the entire region. And it even got to a point where when more discontent was occurring in one of the neighboring communities, I just decided to call a town meeting in the town of Dyer. I agreed to go visit. We went over to Dyer for the first meeting, and there were 50 or 60 people who wanted to explain to them why this was necessary. I told him five minutes of just explaining what a process was is the start, and then I listened to them for another hour and a half on what their questions were and concerns were, and communicated with them back, told them what they want. I said, if you still want me to come back, I'll come back in a month and we will discuss it even further. And that occurred. It got interesting because I got to be a friend of the people in Dyer. I was chopping at the jewel and they would come up to see me and say, thank you for all your help. We understand now airports are designed not to hinder the residents. They're to help and enhance the lives of the residents. No one seems to think about the economic development that occurs once an airport is in place and developing. The economic development for Lansing was very effective as long as I was manager of the airport. After I left, it lost some of its direction. What I tried to do is to redirect the village by writing to them. I went to village board meetings, and I write for the local newspaper, which is an elegant way to communicate with people. The Lansing Journal saw merit in what I was saying and started to post my comments about the airport development, and then that branched off into local government, equal to another book I'm working on. The way people should communicate with one another. We have It is also interesting to note that after I make comments, the paper is structured so that people can comment to what I'm saying.
Yes.
It's all part of a long process. I just get started, and it's hard for me to back off a little bit.
Well, there's that old teacher in you.
Tell me where we should go next.
Well, it's interesting. There's the old teacher in you coming out, and you have these objections, and you're listening, and you're answering those. And this was back in the day before, social media, where you had another platform, although sometimes that stirs up more unrest and untruths than it accomplishes. But this was before this. You had to go out there and become the face for what this meant. What was it like when people started to really understand the benefits of having an airport? They looked at it as a real asset for Lansing, didn't they?
Yes, they did. And it's not a sprint. It's a marathon.
Yes.
Trying to do this. The idea of having aviation spur activity in the southern suburbs is really there. It even is getting more interesting because the Chicago Southland is also in the midst of a third airport being developed, which I don't know if you ever heard of. And I'm certain that there are a lot of people in the area that do not know that the South Suburban Airport is operational, and they're in the midst of a development program that will make it into a cargo airport in the near future, with the backing of Governor Pritzker. I'm trying to create an image or an aura about aviation being a cornerstone for what could happen in the southern suburbs if everybody gets behind the whole project.
Yes.
And the way things get started. My hope with Lansing is to be a reliever airport for that third airport. And it is the good part about it is that everything's done. All we have to do is execute. It gets a little difficult when you try to do this as a retired concerned citizen.
Yes.
instead of convincing the people who are making decisions this is the way it should be done. They're beginning to realize, I think, that I'm right and they should go along with what I'm trying to advise them to do. I do it free of charge just because I've got a passion for this airport. I got 40 years of my life tied up in it, and I'm not going to my grave knowing that I didn't finish the job I started.
Well, you're continuing, and this book is a big part of it. The Village of Lansing and Its Airport, Past, Present, Future, a personal memoir by Robert Malkas, M-A-L-K-A-S. Book available at bookstore.dorrancepublishing.com, at amazon.com, of course, and you can link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You retired in 2008. Talk about that. And you just touched on that, how it's more difficult now to be one of the voices in the room rather than the person standing at the front of the room that's answering the questions and guiding the conversation and the thought process. What happened after you left in 2008, and where is Lansing now in this whole process?
I think they're beginning to be awakened. I started by going to village board meetings, as I think all people should do who have interest in their communities. I expressed my point of view. In some cases, there was response. In other cases, they were disregarded. So I developed techniques. As I didn't get my way, I started to write to the officials personally. After that, I did what I thought was really elegant. I did a silent public comment thing. And I wrote the articles, made copies for the elected officials, and dropped them in their mailbox, and then never said another word. I'm working on their minds more than what happens at village board meetings. I'm trying to convince them that what is best for first Lansing, then the entire area, then Chicago Southland, is to allow, let's say, Lansing to develop the way it's supposed to it was intended to be developed.
How was the book part of that philosophy? The book is The Village of Lansing and Its Airport, Past, Present, Future, a personal memoir by Robert Malkus, our guest on the program. This really is an extension of your work. It's not only a compelling story talking about a small town and this opportunity to really be part of something special and add to the growth of not only that town, but the region as well. This really is sort of what prodding everybody to continue the progress that was made.
Yeah, just a word about the book itself. It's broken up into four parts. The first part is how this process all developed, moving from a 100-acre airport to everything that was necessary to make it into a 650-acre airport. The second part of the book is a virtual guided tour through the pages of history. I thought that was sort of cute.
Yes.
And all it does, I rely upon my own personal files to show the readers that there were things that happened to the airport during the first 10 years that it developed that were very beneficial to everyone. Just a couple of them, air shows. We did land two Sikorsky helicopters on the airport. We did have a national air tour presented. We actually did do a miniature aircraft model operation. We were the site for a part of the trip of a very interesting group of two guys. They flew into Lansing as part of a 52-hour flight around the world in a Cessna 210.
Wow.
The cool part about it was that on their chartered trip, they stopped and had the people who met them sign the airplane. And I got a chance to do it when they stopped at Lansing, but your listeners should would be curious to know that on their stop in Egypt, Anwar Sadat signed the plane. And in my book, it shows that signature. I don't think we got enough time to deal with the 20 different site issues that are brought up in the book. The one other one that just comes to mind is a guy named Carl Unger, and his Breezy became a fixture at the airport. And there's a story about him and how he contributed to the airport's growth. Let me get the two other parts. The third part of the book is the Ford Tri-Motors development. I'm sorry, the Ford Hangars development.
Okay.
Over the 20 years that the airport did take control of it. And the fourth part is the development of the Lansing Veterans Memorial, which is part of the airport also. The part four explains how this happened, what it is now, some of the procedures for how it happened. Most prominently is a mural wall that was put, which was constructed by an artist, Anna Carroll, and that now is part of the front of the wall, a mural in front of it. They have we did events with young people. The book shows you that also, visiting the Ford hangar. When we did get a helicopter donated by the federal government to be mounted as part of the memorial. And now, if they like it or not, I'm moving towards getting the village convinced that it might be a good idea to turn the Ford hangar into a museum that people can come see what's going on with aviation and military history.
It's just such an amazing story that Robert tells in his memoir, The Village of Lansing and Its Airport, Past, Present, and Future. A couple of minutes left in the program. Where do we stand with everything now? This, I know, is a great history book. It recalls how this happened, what went into this, how mistakes were dealt with, and you learn from those mistakes. Is this a call to action to continue this growth?
Without a doubt. I want to mention just another book that I'm having that is in publication right now. That book is called The Road to Redemption. It's an unauthorized teacher's guide for the teaching of American history. And it reverts back to my old days when I taught at Mother Sorrows High School history and for 17 years, getting our young people ready for what they were to face in the world. I'm very disappointed that we aren't moving in the right directions. So I'm trying to create this book, which should be available in a couple of months, to show the country and any other local people who are concerned that this is what has to be done before we cure all the problems that we have in the world today. And that's why the term Road to Redemption is included in it. We need to be redeemed. There are things that are going wrong in the world and issues. I in actuality created a classroom for the nation, if they want to look at it that way, that will indicate, and I established 13 assignments for people to take to determine the true realities of what are going on in the country right now.
And we'll be watching for that book. Robert Malkas, our guest, that's M-A-L-K-A-S. If you Google that, the new book will come up when it's available, Amazon as well. This book that we're talking about, The Village of Lansing and Its Airport, you'll find also at bookstore.dorrancepublishing.com. All of this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Robert, it's been a pleasure. So much more that you're doing in the community and the new book as well. Congratulations on what you've done. When you drive by that airport facility and remember what it was back in the 1970s, how do you feel when you take a look over there and realize you were a very important part of this growth and development?
It's very satisfying. Dickens' book, Uriah Heep, I'm a meek and humble soul. All I want to do is get things done. I am not a politician. The two times I ran for office, I couldn't get elected because I don't know how to play the political game. I am an administrator. I'm a bureaucrat. I'm a person who gets things done. And I listen to people instead of telling them what to do.
Well, that would make you a bad politician, but a really good administrator. And you've been able to do that, and a very accomplished author as well. The book is The Village of Lansing and Its Airport, Past, Present, Future, a personal memoir by Robert Malkas, M-A-L-K-A-S. Robert, a pleasure having you on the program. My thanks to King Pages Press, their website, kingpagespress.com, the marketing consultant for Robert in getting the word out on this very important book, The Village of Lansing and Its Airport. Robert, thank you for being on the program. Love to do it again. A pleasure having you with us. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
It has been our pleasure. And the book, once again, by Robert Malkas, M-A-L-K-A-S, The Village of Lansing and Its Airport, Past, Present, Future, a personal memoir. You'll find the book at Amazon, also bookstore.dorrancepublishing.com, and all the information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.